to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Jesus, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of
see. Amen. I don't know what they was all back there pointing at. They were doing this. I wasn't known. You can hear me anyway, right, Tony? Yes, sir. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be here. 2 o'clock service. We're getting back almost to a regular routine here. So I said almost. We still got a few things we have to deal with. So I'm thankful that no one has been sickened by this. I just thank God. Yeah, go ahead. I just hope that God will, pray that God will protect us all. You know, if we do this out of the will of your heart to be here, not by anything else, by the will of your heart to be here, God's not going to let anything happen to you. He's just not. If you do it from what's inside right here, then he's obligated to take care of you and keep you from all this stuff. So God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Corinthians. We'll read that scripture again. We're going to, if you don't mind, we're going to review just a minute on Abraham, Ruth, and then we're going to get into a new character today just for a few minutes. And her name is Esther. So we're going to talk about that for just a minute, and then we will, I'm going to make some announcements here, and I'll tell you why we need to leave a little early. Saturday, May the 23rd, next Saturday. We were going to do it two Saturdays, but next Saturday, May the 23rd at 2:30, we will have youth Bible study. Next Saturday, 2:30, youth Bible study, not adult Bible study, but youth Bible study. We will eat afterwards, not before, because we'll have plenty of time afterwards, so we will eat after we get finished. And if any of you want to come and want to stay, then let's make preparations. Some can stay at my house. It doesn't matter for those of you that drive a good way. So just remember that. Next Saturday, I had announced it for the 30th, but some other things are going on. Mainly, it's my grandbaby's birthday, so I forgot about that, but I didn't forget my wife's birthday, though. Let's let that sink in just a little bit. It's got to go all the way to the back row back there. So Brother Aaron will be preaching Wednesday night. If you're outside and you want to listen, I think they still got the radio on 107.1, so you can listen to that. June the 6th, though, we will be having Bible study, regular adult Bible study, the first Saturday, right? We're going to start back. Yeah, first Saturday of every month now, we'll start back with the adult Bible study. So June the 6th at 6 o'clock, from 6 to 8, we will have Bible study. And I want to thank everybody, deacons, all your sisters and all your brothers and all your children for this helping with the social distancing, and some of you having to sit downstairs, and it's not very comfortable. Sister Monica and them and Sister Rachel and them have decided that they... or sitting downstairs today to allow some of the others to come up here in the sanctuary, which is great. I was going to suggest that, but I don't have to. You're doing it on your own. So God bless you for doing that. If you see an older couple or somebody that needs to sit up here, go down there and trade with them. It's like Brother Brown said. He said, you sisters and I don't mind if y'all switch back and forth because they were standing against the walls, you know. And he said, it's not going to hurt a thing for you to swap places back and forth because you're doing it in honor of the Lord. You're not doing it to cause confusion. All right. Also, now remember, July the 4th is on a Saturday. July the 4th and the 5th, that weekend, July the 4th, Brother Andrew Glover will be with us, and we'll be doing a youth service on that weekend. We'll give you more details later in the month of July, but that will be the 4th and the 5th of July. And today, for those of you that don't know it, we had a sister decide to die, amen. So we're going to have a funeral, amen, today. And this is a joyous time. She's decided to die while she's still alive. But we're going to put her in an icy grave today. And she's going to raise in newness of life. But Sister Nyla has decided to be baptized. And you know what? The water will be there if anyone else would like to be. It'd be a real good time for you to die. So God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. 1 Corinthians. We'll be making these announcements a little bit more as we go through. So, Journey of a Believer, this is part 10 or 11. I can't keep up with it, but we'll be talking a little bit about Esther, but we're going to go back through and read a little bit more about Abraham and Ruth. I hope you understand it. Even, you know, listen to what Brother Dale's been speaking on. We are called, as Luis was saying, we're called into adoption. That's our call. Our call is not to stay over there with Reuben and Gad and half-tribe Manasseh. All right, we'll talk about that a little more to clarify that a little more today. But our promise is the placing in the land across Jordan. That's our placing. Now, they were in the part of the promised land that they were to get. Luther had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Wesley had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Pentecost had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But they didn't go further into the Word, as we'll see now. Also in Esther, that there was a lady named Vashti, and Vashti was his wife. But she didn't want to go no further with it. So he divorced her and married another girl. So we thank God for these types and shadows. And I hope you're really getting something out of some of these types and shadows that were... Bible is good to just read, but it needs to be read with understanding. It needs to be read with spiritual eyes, like the Bible says in Revelations that God gives us eyesalve to put on our eyes every Sunday and every Wednesday, every time you press play, every time you talk about the Lord, there's some eyesalve going on in your eyes so that you can see better. So let's bow our heads. The Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for protecting us, Lord. You love us. And if you love us, you told us you'd take care of us. And I pray, Lord, that our honor and praise and would all be back toward you, Lord. If it wasn't for you at Calvary, we would never be here, Lord. And we thank you that you've sent a messenger in the end time to bring these little nuggets out of the scripture that was in your mind the whole time, but man had got it so scrupled up until it took a prophet to come, Lord, with the mind of God to tell us what this love letter means every time we open it up, Lord. It's written not to Esther, not to Mordecai, not to the different ones, even Abraham and Isaac. It's written to your bride. It's written specifically for us in the end time, who the end of the world's come upon, for us to be able to glean these things out, Lord, and to take a body change as becoming the Word of God. Father, just bless us now and be with us. Heal the sick, Lord. We do have sick among us. We pray that you'd touch them, Lord. Keep this sickness away. And as we say again, Lord, we pray that you'd just stay this thing, Father, that we get back to some kind of normalcy. And Lord, that they'll allow us to come back into the service to where we can have full services in the front, Lord, and be able to worship you, Father. We pray that you just bind the enemy, Bless our pastor, Father. Be with the deacons, the elders, all the different ones, Lord, that has anything to do with the church that we're trying to uphold, Lord, here today. All the rules and the regulations, we pray that we would have patience. Lord, maybe that's what we need. We need patience. So you sent this thing among us to see and to try us, as you've always said. But, Lord, you said we would come out as pure gold because we're your children, Father. Just ask you to bless us in the furtherment of this service. You be the active speaker, Lord, and may we be the participants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10, it talks about, I'm not going to read all that, but you look and you see that the whole book of Corinthians is a book of correction. So what's he doing? He's telling the Corinthians that, hey, Moses was a messenger. And Moses was given a group of people and had all kind of signs and wonders going on in their camp. I mean, God just babied them. But watch what it says in verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. What? They didn't do what they were supposed to. Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Need to be idolaters and all these different things. Let's read verse 11, though. Here's the whole summation. Now, all these things happen unto them for example. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Like I said again, thank you all for coming, you ones downstairs, for having patience. And we're just going to move right along and let's see what the Lord has for us. I think it was my lovely wife back there was wanting to know why I was singing and saying amen so loud the other day sitting in the back. I'm just glad to be at church. Amen. And I'm glad to see y'all. I was thinking the other day, I read in Kings there where David, the Ark of the Covenant had been gone for months over in another place. And here comes the Ark back. They're pulling it. They're pulling it into Bethlehem, into Jerusalem. And David gets out there and he gets so happy till his poor old wife rebukes him. And he says, I don't care. And that basically is what he's saying. I don't care if the whole world sees me. The Word of God is back where it's supposed to be. So I say now, the Word of God is back where it's supposed to be. So we should be happy. There's not been a lot of amens, I mean, female amens in the sanctuary for a little while. So now we can get all the good amens from the brothers and the sisters. So we missed you. And good to have you back. And good that we can fellowship. Hey, listen. We have no fellowship anywhere else. Do you have fellowship anywhere else? I mean, your regular family, yeah, you do every once in a while, but you don't talk about God if they're not Christian. But when you get among this family here, then we can talk about the Word of God and what God's done in our life and all the things that we've saw that week before, that we've read. And like Brother Ryan said the other day, he said, man, thanks for all those nuggets. Well, you know what? Somebody like Brother Ryan, though, will go back and study them for months at a time and just keep... And it just keeps unfolding. That's the way it should be for everybody, right? That we take these little nuggets. Listen, when God gives you a nugget, remember, it's eternal. Right. God can't give you anything that's not eternal in His Word. Right. When He gives you a revelation, that revelation is eternal. It'll never go away from you. Actually, you build your character on that revelation. Right. You build your Christian journey on that revelation that God gives you. Maybe just one word, maybe just one sentence, maybe a whole message. Like we've been talking about in the book of Ruth, all the little nuggets, and we see that we know one thing's for sure. Ruth didn't walk through life going, well, now 6,000 years from now, there's going to be a group of people that they're going to mimic my life and they're going to use my life as a subject. No, she lived her life. Right. She lived her life as Ruth. That's who she was. Same way with Esther. Esther lived her life as Esther. Right. Okay. She didn't have the knowledge that she was not going to be forgotten several thousand years later, when we're sitting here reading about her today. Same way with Abraham. I don't believe Abraham got up and said, now in 2020, they're going to still be talking about me. He had no clue. But God did tell him, he said, can I withhold anything from Abraham and his children? Can I withhold anything from? No. Well, if we're the children of Abraham by faith, then God can't withhold anything from me and you. He's going to reveal himself to somebody. You just got to decide whether it's you or not.
Right.
Amen. And today we should decide that it's us. We're the ones that he's going to reveal it to. We're the ones that he has brought to this purpose. And as Brother Joe and I were talking about angels a few minutes ago, and I've been studying a little bit on it myself, and he brought some points. And Brother Branham had an angel. I don't know why I'm going here, but I'm going to take this for a minute. Brother Branham had an angel. Remember, that angel stepped out and appeared to him. Middle Eastern man, said he was kind of big built, about 6 foot tall, said he stood there with his arms crossed. And Brother Brown was like, who are you? And he said, look, I am an angel sent from the presence of the Lord to tell you these things. Now listen, the difference in Brother Brown and us is he could step over into that dimension, being a prophet. But folks, I'm going to promise you one thing. There's an angel just like that walks with you every day of your life. That stands over your bed at night and watches you sleep. And make sure that when you get up and go to work, that the traffic, even though we may have to stop in it, the traffic is not going to bother you. Are you going to go to a place and you're going to try to go in this direction, and what happens? Something happens and you have to go in another direction. Are you 5 minutes late or 5 minutes early? I'll never forget that time that we were coming back from a fellowship meeting. And we come through Dawsonville there, and coming out of Dawsonville, there's a crossroad, and there's no traffic light, but they stop on this way because we were on the major highway on 53, I guess it was. And I was in the front in the van, and Daddy was in the back in the van, and they was probably between here and the door distance between us as we're traveling down. Well, make a long story short, I go through that intersection at about 55 miles an hour, and I see this light go through my rearview mirror, and then I caught it going that way. That car had never stopped through that stop sign, and if we would have been 1 second one way or the other, Brother Dale would have got side right into driver's side, or I would have got right into driver's side. The guy, I saw him hit his brakes when he realized what he had done, but Brother Gary, he went right between us. And we're running 55. He's probably running 40 or so. You see what I mean? 1 second. 1,001, and I would have been hit, or 1,001 later, and Daddy would have been hit. You know what? Guardian angel. He's over there going, hey, hold on a minute. I'm going to get it in between these two. I'm going to make it a miracle so they'll see what I'm doing. I just, if you don't believe that, then that's okay. But I believe we all, Brother Brown said, we had angels. All believers have angels. So they're right there with us the whole time. We just can't physically see them. And you know, sometimes you see a flash of light or you see something, that may be them. Brother Collins passed away, you know, this last Monday. And he was a rather large man. And being a rather large man, they said he had a heart attack. And as soon as he had that heart attack, he died on his feet. They said he was dead before he hit the ground. But the paramedics told Sister Barbara, his wife, she was relaying it to us, that there's no way that big of a man died on his feet and didn't have bruising or scars on his body because of the way he would have fell. Because he was in the yard. He was out in and rocks, June. That place is not like a real soft place. It's dirt everywhere, rocks everywhere, stumps everywhere, right? But he laid down just like this right here. Turned his head sideways, and that's the way he died. I said, Sister Barbara, I have no problem with that. I said, as soon as that happened, I said, his guardian angel reached and grabbed his head and just laid him down. And then Brother Joe told me, he said, you know, that happened in the Bible. Remember Stephen? They stoned Stephen, and he went to sleep in the arms of the angel. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Hey, give him a hand clap. Praise. We're not alone in this thing. We're not alone in this thing. This journey that we're in is an anointed journey. It is a journey that you are going to have to take because you're a child of God. That's why this journey of a believer, I'm trying to take, look in the Old Testament and you see these people in their journey where they don't realize everything that's going on. But you and I realize everything that's going on. When we see something in our life, we go, well, that was because of, You know, put whatever in it for your, are you think of what Brother Branham said? Have you ever had something happen in your life and you think of a quote or think of something that, that happened in Brother Branham's life, or you say, well, that happened to Esther, or that happened to Ruth, or that happened to whoever. Right. See, you and I, look at the knowledge that we have. Right. You look at that eagle anointing. That's why it's not just a lion, ox, and a man. You got to have that eagle anointing. You got to be able to see higher and see further. We're not better people than those people were. We're still sinners saved by grace. But God has been gracious enough, Brother Ray, to send us a message that explains what's going on. And this whole world is falling apart. People are scared to death. And they keep wanting to hear the news. And they keep wanting to read the paper. And they keep wanting to see what the political realm is and see what this is. Listen, you and I, we know the end of the whole story. And we don't just know it by the Bible. We had God sent a prophet that gave us clarity that he could see. And he said, watch Russia when she comes down after that oil. Watch the Vatican. Don't worry about communism. He said, you worry about Romanism. He said, it'll be that purple curtain that you need to worry about. Not communism, not Russian. Who's going to take over what? We know what's going to happen. We know who's going to bail us out. Look, they're wanting another $3 trillion and giving us another $1,200 stimulus package. Where's that money coming from? They've had a secret meeting somewhere. And the Pope says, okay, hang on. I'll give you the money, but. Remember the devil? I'll give you the money, but. God has no stipulations when he gives you something. He's a free giver. But the devil always wants something in return. Always wants something. So you just live your life, folks. Go to work. Pray. Read your Bible. Pray for your pastor. Pray for the deacons. Pray for each other. And just go about your business. Wash your hands. Wear a mask if you want to. That's okay with me. I don't. But don't look at me because I don't. Okay? Don't look at me because I don't. Because really the only way you're supposed to wear a mask, Benjamin, is when you're sick. If you're sick, and listen, if you're sick, don't come to church. We've always said do come to church, but this is a little bit different, time here. I tell you what though, I'll guarantee you, if you want me to come to your house and pray for you, we'll be right there. I won't have gloves on or a mask either. If you get scared, what's fear? Fear hath torment. This is tormenting the world that doesn't know what tomorrow's news is, but you and I know what tomorrow's news is. We know how this thing's going to wind down. Well, Kern, I like it, you being up here in the front. Stay up here, okay? This is where Brother Collie says, you're just a young Brother Collie. Y'all pray for Brother Collie. Pray for all the ones that... Brother Collie wanted to come to church, didn't he, Mama? Brother Collie wanted to come to church. He said, I wanted to come. But let's just play this thing. You say, well, are you scared? No, I'm not scared. He's what? He's better from the affliction that he was dealing with. He's doing a lot better. So God's still a healer. God's still the healer. There's no man going to heal us. There's no virus going to kill us. And a preacher asked me yesterday, if we don't get to this, that's okay. We were taking a, there's a lady that worked with June and her father-in-law was a preacher named Grady Sexton. You remember Grady Sexton? Well, anyway, he was there and we were taking the bees. It was in a really easy. It was in a recliner on their back porch. So the bees found that a good place to be. So we opened it up. So he asked me, when I told him who we were, he said, did God bring this plague or this virus? I said, no. And he just kind of looked at me. I said, no. I said, God can't create something like that. I said, now God can create a cure. He already has the cure. I said, but he allowed it to happen. And when I said that, he didn't. And he just kind of went, that's right. I said, he allowed it to happen. Because look, brother, I said, God allows a lot of things to happen, but he don't make them happen. He allowed this to happen to show who's got it and who don't. To show who's weak and who's strong. Listen, you say, well, I'm weak. Okay. You found a place. Abraham found a place. He was weak. But then other places he was strong. You need to find your strength and then work on your weaknesses. Because remember, like I said before, only during hard times do people really rise up. The cream really comes to the top. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. You understand what I'm saying? So we've come to this hour that we need to, this is kind of pencil sharpening time. This is the time when we need to really look and see, do we really got what we think we got? Right? As we were talking about. Do you really know that you know that you know that you can walk in the fiery furnace? That you can walk right in. The three Hebrew children did it with no baptism of the Holy Ghost. They just believed that they said, look, either God's going to take us to the house or he's going to make a miracle out of this. One of the two. And he made a miracle that stood for centuries. So we thank God for that. But let's look again at the journey of Abraham. I want us to see that, listen, we're not here. Go ahead and pull that up. We're not here just, and I want to say this and listen to what I'm saying, not just to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That was your dark ages. That was your, when the corn of wheat had to fall in the ground. And as Brother Dale's talking about, and I want to make another point to help you with that. You know, when I walk out and look in the garden, I see the two shoots coming up. Now that's not corn. But every life, all the life that's going to make that corn is in them two shoots. You cut them two shoots down, you kill the plant. So they're just as important as the corn. Amen. It's just this, what? It's a phase it's got to go through. It's another phase it's got to go through. It's a husk it's got to go through. You know, we're farmers, or even you just look outside and see plants in the ground. You see there's nothing, and then all of a sudden a little bud pops up. Then all of a sudden two shoots pop up. The every life that's going to make anything on that tree or bush or rose bush or what is in them two shoots. So that life was in Luther, that life was in Wesley, that life was in Pentecost. It was just the stages that it had to go through. So you and I have come through those stages, but we got to come to that fourth stage of placing our adoption. Because as we were talking about this morning in the Sunday school class, when you come to Revelations 3:14, and he said, and the Bible tells the beginning of the creation of God. That was never required in any other age. Now, what was the beginning of the creation of God? It was virgin-born Son of God, the Son of Man, born 2,000 years ago, born the way he was supposed to have been born. So now, why is the same thing? Why does it say the beginning of the creation of God in Revelation 3:14 for the Laodicean church age? Darkest hour, but here we are to produce Jesus Christ again. Amen? In that fourth stage. Is that okay? Maturity. The only way we can take this, what's going on outside, is being mature. All right? Journey of Abraham. Remember, went through justification, sanctification. We showed him going through the Holy Ghost, the new birth. Placing or adoption, then we saw the journey of Ruth. What happened to Ruth? Ruth come up to a place and she had to decide whether to go with Naomi, which was a type of the old church, the Jewish church, or to go back to her with her denominational sister Orpha and go back into the world, or go back into her denomination. All right, well, we're going to see that's happened the same thing with Esther, almost, that we see there was something come on the scene. There was another woman, because remember, a woman always types a church. Always. Brother Branham said, always in the Bible, you can type a church with the women in the Bible, or even, he said, go look outside. He said, they're typing what they are now. Blind, wretched, miserable, naked, and don't know it. Go to Walmart. Right. You'll see blind, wretched, miserable, naked, and don't know it. Or they wouldn't go outside. They don't sell mirrors anymore, I don't think. Or it's not required that you look in them before you leave. But that's just the way the world is. That's the world. But you and I, watch how you and I walk through the same Walmart and everybody looks at us like we're crazy. Y'all, sisters, they look at you like you're crazy. And the men, you ain't got short shorts on and tattoos up one leg and you don't have your tank top on with your girlfriend's name on the top, on the shoulder that you don't even like anymore. I love my mama. But that's the way the world is. Look how blind that is, though. They think that's perfect. Right. they all gather together and they say, oh, where'd you get your tattoo? And we all get together and say, man, where'd you get that revelation from? You see the difference? Birds of a feather. And we're all what now? We're all eagles. For those of you that didn't go to the funeral, that was wonderful because Brother Mike brings in a point. Brother Dale brings in a point, and the other brother brings in a point. And it was all different characteristics of the lamb. As Brother Terrence said, that him just as meek as a lamb, and the other one bringing in the eagle, and Brother Mike bringing in his point. And it all what? It was the life of Eugene Collins. But it was totally fit in all the scripture that you could think about for a lamb and an eagle and what Brother Mike could talk about being a soldier. All right? So can they say that about us? Because our journey, to me, is more important than their journey. Because we have to come to full maturity. That's our call. It wasn't their call. Listen, Abraham, Ruth, Sarah, they're all resting they're all over in another dimension now waiting on us to finish this thing up. But we're going to finish it up by what? By watching them. Because look, this is what we're wanting right here.
Right.
We're wanting our reward. Our reward is not just by and by I'll die, I'll fly away, hallelujah, I'll die. I'm going, no. Somebody's got to come to a what? A maturing of that capstone and take a body change. So that's what you and I, that's our commission. We have no other commission but that. So Ruth deciding, she decided to go with Naomi. And think, look how strong that was. She said, I'm a Moabite. My God's different from yours. But now, whatever your God is, that's going to be my God. Naomi, whatever you, I'm going to listen. Because remember, Ruth is a type of us. Naomi is a type of the old church. What are we doing today? We're looking back on the old Jewish heritage of the Old Testament, gleaning out what Ruth is supposed to be bringing forth today. Everybody got that? All right. So it's Ruth deciding. Then Ruth serving, she goes out in the field, she starts coming to church, she starts what? She starts gleaning, she starts putting up a little food. Sundays and Wednesdays, mash play, whatever else you want to talk, Bible study and all those things. Well, that's what Ruth was doing. She wasn't just sitting out in the corner of the field and saying, hey, bring me some. That's some of our attitude sometimes. Hey, bring it to me. No, Ruth went out and what? She caught the eye of the master. She caught the eye of the king of the harvest. She caught the eye. Boaz was like, who's that girl? Because remember, she wasn't in the lineage of the Jewish lineage. She had no lineage. She had married into the Jewish family. The husband died. Well, there she comes up though under the protection of Naomi, the old Jewish church, and weaves her way through that as the old Jewish church is today. I'm talking to you. The old Jewish church is weaving us through these types and shadows. Feast of Trumpets, Feast of all these different feasts. We know that type Christ, but you know what? We can look at it and see how it's part of us. We're now, Brother Brown said, feasting under the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, you're not building booths out in the... Didn't you see that when you were over there? Well, somebody saw in the when they went to Israel at the Feast of Tabernacles, they make booths. And they go sit in them outside. Well, that's just a type. That you and I are the ingathering. We're coming into a place, but you're bringing your booth with you. You're bringing your booth and you're sitting, you walk outside and you take your booth to the world. Because what happens in the Jewish realm is you can walk out into a courtyard of somebody's house and there's all these booths. Well, you know what they're doing. All these feasts is you, when you're looking at them from a, if I'm looking at Luis and Christine and they're doing one of the feasts, I'm seeing what they're doing. So when you walk through the world, folks, that's why you're written epistles. Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of First Fruits, all these things, it's in you. That all, but you know what? That all happened because of you. You said, what do you mean, bro? The whole Bible was written for the bride. The whole Bible was written to get us to a place to realize that who we are, what we're doing here, by what? By these different journeys. Now remember, these are not, and were not, and never will be, microwave journeys. 1 minute, got heat. No, it's a crock pot set on low. And if there was a real low, it set on that one. Right? How many of you have been in a long journey? We've all been in a journey. Even if it's 20 years, that's a long journey. Well, that's what it is. It's what God is just, He's walking us through all these things. He's letting us go through. But you know what He's doing? He's protecting us. You need to believe that God is protecting you. That you do have a guardian angel. It took a prophet of God to tell you, you've got a guardian angel. I remember Anna telling a story when she flipped her car over because she's running too fast going around the curb. That wasn't God. But God was in there. Didn't you tell the story? It felt like she's in a bubble. What was happening? That guardian angel had wrapped around her, and he was taking the bumps. If you don't believe that, you can't be a Christian. I believe that. Brother Dale almost got shot in the head with a .30-06. He wouldn't have been here today, or parts of him wouldn't either. Right here. Right here. That close. When that thing went off. You know what? The guardian angel? Daddy was reaching down like this, and I don't know if he ever felt it or not, but it doesn't matter. But that angel just pushed his head back. Folks, I believe it more now than ever. That there's something God in you. And it don't have to be a Middle Eastern 6 foot tall guy with his arms folded walk into a light in your room. It don't have to be that, but you got to believe. Just like the belief that Abraham believed when he saw Melchizedek. What did he say? My Lord. His brother Dale was preaching. He knew the presence of the Lord. You and I must realize the presence of the Lord when it comes. Now there's a lot of times it's my own presence. It's a lot of times it's your own presence. But there's a lot of times, though, that God will slide in there or that guardian angel will go, hey, move over a little bit. They'll never tell you wrong. Now, you may do wrong because, listen, let me get this straight. We have more power than the angels. A Christian has more power than the angels. Because we're right there with God. But they are given to us to lead us and guide us. And then we have to make the choice. Just like we talked about this morning with Cain and Abel. Cain had a choice. We all got a choice. Ruth had a choice. She had to decide. Then she had to go out in that field and she worked from daylight till dark. She wasn't just a halfway Christian. Right? She wasn't a halfway Christian. She went out there in that hot field and she gleaned. And finally, she caught the attention of Boaz. And Boaz said, well, if she's going to be out there, let's give her a little more. Right. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You look at this congregation and you tell me, now at least one or two, how this thing has affected you economically. It has not affected me at all. I'm working 6 days a week. Are you? Are you? Some of you? Now, a few of you maybe, but I'm talking about in a whole. I'm telling you, if you do what God says, God is obligated. Obligated to do what He said. Doesn't matter. Everybody goes to a little rough place. But you pay your tithe. You go to church. You do the little things. I'm just saying, I can see who's blessed. Brother Dale's always known who's tithe payers and who's not and all that. Because you see that God has, listen, Brother Brown said, take God at what? At His word. God, you said right here. And you know what? That ain't blaspheming when you can take God back to His word. Brother Brown said, God loves for you to remind Him of what He's already said. Now, Lord, you promised me that if I paid my tithe, you'd pour out the windows of heaven. And I wouldn't be wanting for anything. That's just some one little simple thing. I've seen people blessed and wasn't even Christians, but they paid their tithes. Because they thought that was an obligation they should do. Well, you know what? God didn't say if you're a Christian or if you're not. He just said if you pay your tithe.
Right.
So if, listen, God knows your heart. If you come to church and do the things you're supposed to do, God will take care of you.
Yes.
He's never seen what is righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread.
Right.
So this thing has not affected me at all, and it's not affected most of you. There's a few, and that's okay. That's life stuff. But look at the end. We just keep going. And then we'll get to the end, and we'll go, man, I didn't miss none of that I thought I was missing.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
We're seeing right now stuff that we can do without. Let me walk down the aisle. That we can do without, that we didn't need to start with, but we thought we needed before all this happened.
Yeah.
Just put it in your whatever. I have mine, you have yours. But Ruth walks through and Ruth proves who she is. She gets out in that field and she works. And you know what? God notices. Boaz turns and said, who is that? And they said, oh, that's Naomi's. Oh, that's my kinfolk. Of course, Naomi was the kinfolk. But when he looked at Naomi, he looks a little past Naomi and he sees a really pretty Gentile girl. And sees that she's doing all she can to sustain herself. So guess what? When Ruth comes to the threshing floor and the Lord of the harvest is laying there and she lays at his feet, not trying to, you understand what I'm saying? Not trying to make favors with him. Trying to get on his good side. She lays at his feet as a servant. Naomi said, this is what you need to do. And the prophet of God said, Boaz just took his veil and laid it over. He says, just like God takes the veil of the Holy Ghost. And he says, okay, I'll accept you.
Right.
Remember, same thing with Abraham. Now, Abram, now you're Abraham.
Right.
And he gives him a sign of circumcision because he's what? He sees Abraham's faith.
Yeah.
He sees Abraham's faith, that Abraham has faithfully done these things, that you and I have faithfully done these things. It's not easy to do a lot of things that we do. I was standing yesterday, a couple of days ago, me and June we have two mirrors. We actually look in the mirror, but we have two mirrors, and June's over there doing her hair, and she looks at me and she says, you got about three hairs that are, you know, doing this. And I'm making a point. Got about three hairs like this. And I just reached over and got the scissors and went, just took them right off. And I said, honey, I'm sorry that you can't do that. And I was sorry that y'all have more, your sisters, you know, something gets out of place, Julie, something gets out of place on Gary, you just go, you know, slip it right off. Bless his heart. See, we can't do that for y'all. Y'all have to kind of put, and that's what I'm talking about, the sacrifice that you make as females, as the sisters. But now remember, a female is a type of the bride. So the same thing with us. We're all female. So there's things that we can do and cannot do. We can't snip them little wild hairs off. We have to deal with them. Right, Jim? But you see what I mean about us? Everything we do through the life is typing. If you can't see God in your life, I adjure you to get born again.
Right.
Today, I want you to go with Nyla and go to a grave and lay that old person down.
Right.
And raise in newness of life. You'll never feel the same again.
Right.
So then what did Boaz say? Look, Ruth, you can't get yourself born again. I wish my kids, I could just say, I want them born again. But we pray for them. But no, Boaz said, you stay right here. I've got to go do something. I've got to go do the rite of redemption. You can't do it because you're not even in the lineage. Ruth had nothing. She could only get she was, her only connection was Naomi. The old Jewish church, that's our connection. Christ came to the old Jewish church. She turned him down. Therefore, a Gentile bride could come in. But now he's not going to forget Naomi, because of Naomi, because of all this, you and I become perfected. The Gentile, the old Gentile bride, we become perfected by looking back at these ones that were in the Old Testament, the old Jewish church, but God doesn't forget them, because what happens? Ruth is rewarded by getting Boaz. There's Boaz standing there saying, hey, I'll redeem Naomi, because remember, he redeemed Naomi and got Ruth. And then they became intimate and had a baby. And through seven church ages, that baby's been growing. And we're going to take that baby and we're going to hand them back over to the old Jewish church, which is Naomi. We're going to hand Jesus Christ right to them and say, this is what you missed.
Right.
And they're going to say, where did you get those scars? Where did you get those scars? He said, in the house of my friends, in the house of Naomi, in the house of Abraham, and all these different ones in the Old Testament. All the Old Testament. You got Ezra, the blushing prophet, as Brother Bob was talking about. All these different prophets in the Old Testament. I think Brother Dale preached on it several times, a long time ago. They all had flaws. Look at David, a man after God's own heart. He ruled a country that, I was reading, read through Kings and Samuel, or basically Samuel. See that God, David didn't just do things. Now, he did slip up one time with Bathsheba. But you watch him. Every time the Philistines would come up, he'd go to God. He'd go to that Urim Thummim or take the ephod, and he'd go in and say, God, do I need to go now? Because remember, God said, go up, you'll take them all. Then one day, he said, no, David, you need to wait a little while. See, there was something going on. Same way with me and you. We rush in and say, God, I want to do... No. Because you know what he'll do? He'll say, well, if that's what you want to do, you're not going to be successful. But David, if you'll wait a little while, then David goes back a couple of days later and says, God, are we going to win this battle? He said, go on up. Remember the mulberry tree and all those different things? He said, wait right here. Well, that's a type of me and you in our battles. Sometimes God, you go to God and God will say, go on, man. I'm with you. You go out there and you slay that whatever. But sometimes he'll say, hold on just a minute. Things are not exactly right. And there was David, a man after God's own heart. And then to do what he did. Well, he didn't have the Holy Ghost to guide him. He was going through. But now remember, here we go again. You look at the story, and without Bathsheba, this beautiful lady with no clothes on top of a roof that David desired, who came through that? Solomon came through that. Another type of Christ coming down and ruling and reigning. So you can't figure it all out. You just have to realize, I want to make this so simple. There is four journeys in your life.
Right.
Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then going on and furthering the Word of God.
Right.
Getting rewarded or placing or adoption. Look at Abraham. He takes his son up on the hill, but what does he do there? He knows one thing for sure. He's getting ready to stab his only child, and God says, nope. I know now. You know what he was saying? Abraham, you should know now that you're being, that you've got an, where'd that angel come from that stopped him? He had to take on some solid form. We always think of angels being something that can pass through a wall. But he took on some kind of solid form because he reached and grabbed Abraham's hand. That's what's going to happen with us sometime. We're going to meet. We've always said, we are what? We're the Son of Man in the end time. Well, you're meeting God in human flesh. Every time you look at your brothers and look at your sisters and they're really true born again Christians, you're seeing God in human flesh. You're seeing the Son of Man. If we're a collective body, the Son of Man, then that's what you're looking at. Abraham couldn't do that. Sure, he looked at Melchizedek and he said, I know who you are. But that person that was inside of Melchizedek couldn't come inside Abraham. But when you meet him, when you meet God and get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then that is God in human flesh. And then you can do what? Then you can meet somebody else. And recognize. Brother Bram said what? Give me 2 minutes with somebody. I can tell you whether they got the Holy Ghost or not. 2 minutes? That's not even a good conversation. That's not even a good question conversation. 2 minutes. But let's look at the four combat beasts. Lion, ox, man, and eagle. We know what that is. The lion was the first three church ages. The ox was the middle church age. The man was the next two church ages, which was Luther and Wesley. And the eagle is obviously our age that we're looking at. Is everybody okay with that?
Amen.
Amen. So then you had Ruth. We won't go through all the... We know what Ruth was. Naomi was the old church. Orpha was the denominational church. Ruth was the Gentile bride. And Boaz type Christ. Because we're going to bring some other characters in just a minute. And I'm going to just touch a minute on Esther and then we'll close. All right? So Ruth chapter 2 was serving. Ruth chapter 3 was resting. What? Boaz had to go. Christ had to go die to do the rite of redemption. But upon his death, he turns around, like I said before, and he puts his feet on the ground out coming out of the tomb, and he says, this is mine. I have come and I have captured death, hell, and the grave. So at all, what? It takes me and you to believe that. It takes me. And then what's God going to do? He's going to reward us. He's going to reward us, not by just giving us the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's going to reward us by giving us more of that baptism of the Holy Ghost and a deeper walk with God, not just a mindless walk. You look at people outside today. They have no direction. Look at them. They have no direction, zero. What are you going to do? I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know. What are you going to do? And you know what they do? They, instead of going to God, they go to pills and they go to alcohol and they go to all these different things that they go to. And Brother Brown said that. That's what? That satisfies the urge. When what they're doing is they're jumping right over Christ because he's standing there to give you a holy urge or a holiness to live by. And we're going to see that in Esther in just a few minutes. So everybody got that? So far, so good. We good? So now let's look real quick. I want to try to explain this a little bit more. From last Wednesday. Now we look at the two tribes and the half tribe. We may not even get into Esther. We'll just do this right here and then we'll just close and we'll start on it next Sunday. But I want to get the characters down on Esther so you can be thinking about it. But look, Numbers 34. Now this is Moses. Now watch. This is Moses, the prophet of the day. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
This is Moses, the prophet of the day that God has sent. And listen, God didn't send him to take them over. Or he would have took them over. Now, Moses didn't know that. But God knew he was going to bring him right up to the border, and he was going to have to go off the scene, and then Joshua was going to take him across. But before he left the scene, say, before Brother Bram left the scene, watch what he done. I mean, before Moses left the scene. Sorry. And Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying, this is the land which you shall inherit by lot. Now watch. Which the Lord commanded to give unto the nine tribes and the half tribe. All right. For the tribe of the children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, have received their inheritance. And half of the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance. Hold it right there just for a second. So they got their inheritance first. But look at me, it's not a placing. They were given inheritance on this side while the prophet was still alive. It had to take the Holy Ghost. I mean, sorry, Joshua to take them on the cross. Okay? The two tribes and the half tribe have received their inheritance on this side Jordan near Jericho eastward toward the sun rising. They wasn't in a bad place. Is it the rising of the sun? Then Joshua commanded, this is the officer of the people saying, pass through the host. This is actually, we didn't redo that one. Scroll it on up. That's another scripture. That's Joshua 1 right there. Hold it right there. Stop. So what did Moses do? Moses said, look, you've come to me, and I've given you this side. All right? Let's pull that chart up now. Remember the chart we had last Sunday? They got it right here. And I'm like Brother Bob. These guys got little places. Not very big. Look at Manasseh. But Manasseh had to carry on half of its tribe over here. So if you got justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that baptism of the Holy Ghost had to carry on into here. Everybody got that? You see what I'm talking about? It had to carry on into here and then get a bigger portion. We get a bigger portion. Prophet God tells us, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. Now what did Pentecost do? Pentecost was the bridge that got us across the river.
Right.
But remember, they had to go across Jordan and fight with the group of people. What are you saying, Brother Wade? All that message that Moses had, he didn't deliver it over here in the Promised Land. But Joshua, what did God say? Joshua, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. So he had the mind of Moses in the people. So when they crossed over, half tribe went. All these went over and helped them fight it out. What are you saying, Wade? Brother Wade, the Word of God is what's helping us fight the thing out. It's not people, and it's not swords and shields and guns. No, it's the Holy Ghost. We're going across. We're taking justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The prophet goes off the scene when? During the Pentecostal age, right. Later on, after the end of the age. All right, everybody got that? So now what is this? That's where we are at right now. Because these came back across and took up their position. You'll never forget justification. You'll never forget sanctification.
Right.
And you'll never forget the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what got you started, because they're standing right here.
Amen.
Right here is where Moses is looking across, and he said, okay, you get this, but there's more. There's seals to be open. There's trumpets to be open. There's Daniel 70 weeks, all the great mysteries of God over in here that they didn't get over here. Everybody okay with that? This is where we are, folks. We've got justification, sanctification, baptism, and the Holy Ghost. But that justification won't get you anywhere today.
Right.
It just gets you started into the body. Right?
Right.
The sanctification, but you understand what I mean. Justification, under Luther, he could still smoke a pipe and drink a beer and talk about God. God was pleased with that because he was only commissioned to show the just shall live by faith.
Right.
That was the revelation. But that revelation couldn't keep him in the over here. It was a combination of all these. When the Pentecostals come, then what happened? The prophet of God comes on the scene, and through the Holy Ghost, now through the Holy Ghost, Moses is gone. When they cross over in here, Moses never went over in this promised land. The prophet of God said, I must decrease that he can increase. Who he? Joshua. Jehovah Savior. Joshua. Christ is the one that took them across into this promised land. They fought it out, got their position, and then Luther drops right back here. Wesley drops back here. Pentecost drops back here. But when the bride is going to go up, this whole, all of us, this is all, is going to be taken up. But they weren't given what these people got. They were a portion, a part. Prophet of God says a dip of the Holy Ghost. You know, listen, if you get a dip of the Holy Ghost, that's good enough for me at the moment. I said at the moment. Because if you get a dip of the Holy Ghost, it's all of God. But what happens is you see that they decided and asked Moses. Moses says, sure, you can stay under your messenger. Hello? You can stay under your messenger, but there's more to come. Under your messenger. You're to be the final voice. to the final age. That's over here. That's not over here. We've come through Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. Now we're in the what? Eagle age.
Glory.
We're in the age of what? Literally. Literally, this is where we're going to live when this is all over and done with. We know that for 1,000 years, where's the... Oh, Jerusalem and Bethlehem, all this right in here. This is where the new city is going to push up and make that pyramid mountain. But during the millennium, I believe during the millennium, we're going to live right here. They're not going to build that temple over here in Moab. Right? They're going to build it right here. And that's where we're going to live for 1,000 years. Why? Because we fought it out here. On this battleground. Not that battleground. On this battleground. Listen, why do you think they love that little... You know, if that was a world map, it wouldn't even be maybe that big. But why does the world hate that place? Because the devil hates that place. He knows if he can get us out of that land, he's got us. But what happens? Israel goes back to the promised land. And now we're going to see a little girl named Esther. That she's going to go through a journey too. She's going to be living with a guy that has a kingdom from over here in India all the way into Turkey back that way. 147 provinces, this guy. The Medes and Persians, they own the whole world. But the whole world bowed when Esther asked one question. This little bride, I'm telling you, there's many, many. Sure, there's some powerful angels. There's Gabriel. There's all these different ones. But when you get on your knees and ask God for something,
amen.
There's silence in heaven.
Right. Exactly.
You must know that. That you as the bride, watch. You know what? The king has complete power. Right? Whatever he says, that's the way it goes. But if you look down through time, there's always a queen.
Glory.
And she's right there beside of him. And sometimes he might ask her. He might say, what do you think about doing this? Because what's going to happen in this next part that we see is that the king's done made a decree. The king made a decree. He wrote in this Bible, everybody's going to die. Getting a little ahead of myself, but right? Man has appointment to die. It's appointed unto man to die. And then the judgment. Well, we're going to read in here maybe next Sunday that the king makes a decree, and according to the Medes and Persians, you can never take it back.
Right.
So you can never take the word of God out and take the pieces out. But there was a provision made in that word.
Right.
And Esther said, I know you said what you said. But Haman is the one that did this. The devil. He's tricked you into doing this. And he said, what I've said, I've said. What I've written, I have written. But the little queen walks up one day and says, if I've found favor in your sight, can my people defend themselves? And he writes in a decree, he says, Israel can take up arms and defend itself. And that's what saved the natural story. That's why they have the day of Purim or the time of Purim in, even in Jerusalem now. It's because Esther helped save, because Haman was gonna, the decree was destroy everyone, every Jew.
Right.
You see that same devil, he was in Haman. It just, when Haman died, it moved into Hitler. When Hitler died, it's moved into everybody in the world. That devil's not dying. He's just moving to different places.
Right.
But we'll see in here, and let's look at this. Everybody understand that? That's very important, because you see how the position they got. Our position, we have to go through this journey. But we have to cross over.
Right.
And we have to possess the land.
Right.
We have to possess what? Virtue. Knowledge. Temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and the capstone, which is love. That's our possession. But Joshua in verse 1 says, remember the words in verse 13, which Moses, thy servant, See, remember? You're reminded. How many quotes did Brother Dale read today? Four or five. How many quotes did I read? One or two. You're reminded of what Moses had told us.
Right.
Saying the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land.
Yeah.
Can you glean that from what you're reading? Or when you press play?
Right.
That's your inheritance. That's your land. That's God speaking to you, telling you what He's already given you.
Right.
It wasn't that God came up one day and said, well, I'm just going to give you on this side of Jordan. No, it was there the whole time.
Right.
Abraham, wherever the sole of your feet goes, you're going to get that land.
Right.
And sure, they've been driven off by the ites and this ite and that ite and all the other ites. But they had to fight, and what happened was, they come right in. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side. But you shall pass before your brethren armed. Listen, if you don't have justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are not armed.
Right.
You say, well, no, it's just the Holy Ghost. No, you can have the Holy Ghost every day of your life and die and go to hell.
Right.
But you can't be truly justified, truly sanctified, and truly filled with the Holy Ghost and die and go to hell. Because that's inside the soul, man. The baptism of the Holy Ghost can be an anointing that comes on you, and you can be just as religious as the next person. And inside of you, the prophet of God said, be just as black as soot. But, like I said before, if you say, all right, I know where I went through justification. Okay? I know I went through sanctification. I know the unclean spirit. I know I'm not doing the things I used to do. I know God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I went further on with God into the placing in the promised land. You can't lose. You can't then just have the Holy Ghost on your flesh or on your spirit. If you go through truth, listen, the Bible says those who He has justified, He has already glorified. All right? Everybody okay?
Yeah.
Let's go through this one thing. Now, I want you to read, if you wish, the book of Esther. But let's go to Esther. And you don't have to do that. Just pull up what I got right here. We're going to go through the, just scroll it up where it says Esther King. Because what's going to happen is here's the players again. Didn't Brother Brown say this was the acts of a play? Okay. So I wrote King because the King's a king. It's king. God's the king. All right? Esther is the type of the bride. Vashti is the type of the church. Mordecai is the type of the prophet, the end time prophet. And Haman is the type of the devil. So we're going to see that King Ahasuerus, he doesn't just have a little kingdom. He owns 127 provinces from India to Turkey. Look at it on your map. And he didn't own it, but he ruled over every bit of that. So he wasn't just a little rinky-dink king that was, you know, the mayor of Gillsville. Or Lula. But you watch what he does, and you watch how this whole thing, if you read your Bible, because Esther comes up, and just to give you this background, and we'll close right here. Read even what Scofield says. Watch what Scofield, I'm going to read it right here real quick. The significance of the book of Esther is that it testifies to the secret watch care of Jehovah over dispersed Israel. All right, now who are we? We're type of Israel, so we're a type of them. The name of God does not occur one time. But in no other book in the Bible is His providence more conspicuous. Now watch this. If this ain't the time right now, a mere remnant returned to Jerusalem. If you'll understand the history, they were dispersed. They were driven out of Israel. There was a small group stayed there, but this group went way out somewhere where they're at now. So watch. But now look, watch this. Doesn't this sound like Laodicea? The mass of the nation preferred the ease and lucrative life under Persian rule. The mass of the nation preferred the easy and lucrative life under the Persian rule, but God did not forsake them. What was Laodicea? Easy, rich, have need of nothing? Isn't that us? What he here does for Judah, he is surely going to do for all the covenant people. So what's going to happen is Israel is in peril, and there's this king that can, you know, there's this king that can back it up. He's got an army. He's got 127 provinces. And we're going to look and see next Sunday. Let's go ahead and stand our feet, and we'll bring the musicians, and we'll get ready to go, have a burial. But if you'll watch these, you see a lot of sevens and threes, and even Vashti means beautiful. You know how John looked at that church? John looked at that church, and he thought it was beautiful. Okay? Then you look and see that there were seven eunuchs that were attached to the king. And number seven, his name's Carcass. We're going somewhere with this. All right, and then Vashti refuses the king's commandment, sets up her own denomination. Then you've got a seventh messenger. There are seven messengers under the king, and they all, none of them say anything except number seven. Memucan's the only one that says anything. He actually says, "Hey, king, if you don't do something, you're going to have a problem later on." So it just continues down, and even Mordecai means little man. About 5'5", 5'6", little man. And then you look at Esther, whose first name was Hadassah, which means myrtle. That was her Jewish name, because remember, she was hiding her name because they were kind of an outcast. But she got a new name. She got a new name. Haggai was the keeper of the women. Haggai means the word. Oh, my Lord. It gets better and better. But we'll talk about it next Sunday. Sister Trudy called and said their water main pipe busted and their basement is flooded. So we need to pray for them that they'll get their water fixed. And we know how that is. The devil just tries his best to show his face. But you know what? He does his job. But you know what? God does his job too. So we'll pray for her. But God bless you. It's a journey. And it's a long fight. And it's not, like I said, you may lose a battle, but you're going to win the war.
Right.
You may lose a battle every once in a while, but the war's already won. Everything's already finished. I mean, it's over with.
Right.
And we need to be more in touch. Brother Ram talks about spiritual happenings, and he says spiritual people watch spiritual things. So I think we're all being spiritual people. We should watch even the little things, like Brother when it just died. Forgot his name. Thank you, Mom. Brother Collins. She's only 78. Brother Collins. That's an inside joke. Brother Collins. And it's all that tragedy. But then when you look and see that the paramedics have to go, we don't know what happened. I mean, they know that his heart stopped. They know that. But how, I mean, you could see him laying there. It's just like he was asleep. He had no scars. He had no bruises. They said, we don't know how this happened. Well, you know what? All of the believers there, we weren't all going, oh, I wonder how that happened. No, we know. As soon as she told me the story, I could just see. I could just see the angels in the other dimension having to walk up and just lower him down so that there could be a testimony. And of all the different things that we have, what a testimony. What a mighty God. Let's sing a song. Yes, sir.
A brother from Nicaragua, the voice of God representative in Nicaragua, he passed away on Thursday, and he died the same exact way.
Really?
He just went to sleep that night, and when they got up that morning, he just had a smile on his face.
Yeah, and Sister Collins said also that Brother Gene had a peaceful look on his face. Well, you know what? It did.
And they said that they thought it was a heart attack. But it was something related to his heart, because he has had heart problems.
Sure.
But just went to bed, not thinking anything, and the next morning woke up, It was in the presence of the Lord.
Sister Collins, amen. So. Sister Collins told me, she said, he was playing them tapes and he was listening to Brother Branham. I said, Sister Collins, he ain't got a mash play no more. He's talking to the real man. Because I'm sure Brother Branham's over there and he's going, oh, Brother Branham, if you hadn't have been here. Remember, that's what they said. The people were saying, if you hadn't have come, I'm sure Brother Collins has probably found Brother Richard and all these different ones and Brother Gary and the different ones. And Lord, here they are, your mama and your daddy and all of them together. And they're going, this is what it is.
Amen.
This is it.
That's right.
And then they're going to, right in the back part of their mind, they're going, come on, Brother Dale. Come on, Brother Bob.
Yes.
Come on, Brother Kern. Come on, Brother everybody. Come on, Sister everybody. Because we're not finished. Because remember, we're on this side of the Jordan. We got to get them back across.
That's right.
We got to get them back across because what? Jordan types death. They went back across. They're in another dimension waiting on us to keep our placing. And then what we're going to do, we're going to pull them right across that Jordan River of death.
Right.
Amen? You got something to say or are you just praising the Lord? That's all right. You want to say something? Sure, absolutely.
Talking about death and, you know, the saints. And I just remember when Mama passed, we were all three standing there. And when we were watching her chest, you know, get less and less breath. And when she took that last breath, there was the strongest, most awesome presence just come into that room. And it just... And then in just a minute, it started easing away. And I just looked at them and said, did y'all feel that? You know, and they both had felt it.
Sure.
That was awesome.
You know what? That wasn't the death angel to come and get that. That was Michael. He come and picked her up. He come and picked Brother Collins up and all the different ones that have the Holy Ghost. A lot different than somebody, the death angel picking up somebody that ain't got anything. Cause he's going to take them to the fifth dimension and just kick them over in the, right? But the ones that are born again, I believe there's a special anointing that comes in and takes them over. And like you said, we feel the brush. We're going to sing this song here. That's why I wanted to sing this song. Let's sing Surely the Presence of the Lord is in His place, and then we'll go to a baptismal service.
Of His place, oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. Surely the presence
of the Lord. Bless our little brother, Lord, and give him strength, Lord. And that this pain will go away from him in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we pray.
Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Thank you, Lord.
I can feel His mighty power and His grace. Surely the presence of the Lord is in
one more
this
time.
Place.
Oh, let's worship just for a moment.
The presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. Glory on each face.
Surely, the presence of the Lord. How many times have you ever just been sitting somewhere and all of a sudden something come on you? You don't have to be in church, but you do need to be thinking about the Lord. You think about the Lord, He'll come. Amen? That's why you need some alone time every once in a while. Just, Ryan, where do you go? Get on a lawnmower or sit in a chicken truck. Amen? That'd be a kind of a unique place to be for the Lord to meet you, is in an old nasty stinky chicken truck. But you know what? God's there. Because one of His kids are there. Where you are, that's where God is. Where you are. Now, we're going to a baptismal service. If you don't know where Brother Terrence lives, just follow somebody. But let's get on out of the building. And Brother Bob, when we get ready to pray, if you'll come up here and let them go one aisle at a time, we would appreciate that. God bless you.